The line that haunts me every Christmas. There was no room for them in the inn. There have been Christmases where I have felt that way. Haven't you? Felt as though there was no place for me in the inn. Felt as though I was wandering in the darkness, seeking shelter from the chaos in my life, looking for someone to welcome me, to make me feel as though I were home. In the darkest moments of my life, it has felt as though God was the innkeeper, and I had arrived at God's doorstep in prayer and said, "Is there a place for me? Am I welcome?" Despite everything that's uncertain in the world, despite what we're going through right now, I don't feel that way this Christmas. Thank God. But if you feel that way right now, if someone you know or love feels that way this Christmas, then I hope and pray that you or they come to know how deeply you are loved. Because that's what this Christmas story is all about. How deeply you are loved. How God is always, always preparing a place for us. But tonight, Christmas Eve, it is not about us knocking at the door, asking to be let in. Tonight, it is about God asking to be let in. Tonight, the inn is here. The human heart. And in the journey that is our lives, each of us will live out that same drama over and over again. Christ will come knocking and ask to come in, and for whatever reason, there will be no room for him. In a sense, we are all the innkeeper in this gospel drama. Barely hearing the knock at the door and not really seeing who's there when we open it. Distracted by the frantic busyness of living or the frenzied downtime of life in isolation, which seems just as frantic. We often live our lives in the place where there is no room in here. Because our hearts have been so full, haven't they? Full of cares, anxieties. One of the lessons of Christmas is this. God often seeks to enter our lives precisely at those moments when we least expect it. Like now, in our world. In moments of great uncertainty and fear. I've had a lot of time to think and pray during this pandemic. I've tried to be open and receptive to God's presence to discern when God was knocking. And I believe that in the story of Jesus' birth we hear tonight, certain graces, qualities marked his coming. And when I've experienced those same qualities in my own life, especially these past 20 months, I've tried really hard to be attentive and receptive, because I think it was God making room here, telling me how deeply I am loved, telling me that there will always be a place for me. Joy is one of those qualities. In Luke's gospel, it is symbolized by the shepherds who, at the bidding of the angels, pushed past their fear and joyfully came to celebrate Christ's birth. That's the thing about joy. It is not mere happiness. You can't look for it. It has to find you. And joy only comes through struggle and sacrifice. It began with Mary at the Annunciation, when an angel came to her and she let go of her own fears and hopes to follow God's promise that the Messiah would be born through her. Imagine that. So many times during this pandemic, I have experienced joy born out of struggle and sacrifice. I see it every day. Essential workers in the world around us, toiling beyond exhaustion. In this church, the Common Table, our outreach program, all the people who phone one another in this church just to see how they're doing, our musicians who work desperately hard opening their talents so that we can rejoice, administrators, leaders, volunteers, everyone in our community relentlessly trying to provide hope to one another and to a world bracing itself for whatever is next. Nothing is certain. Yet here you are tonight. Here you are, despite everything, rejoicing that God came into this world. That is my joy tonight. Just that we are rejoicing together. Whenever we experience moments of joy, those times when sacrifice gives birth to something new, God has found a place here. Another sign of God's presence is the experience of innocence, which we so rarely talk about. It's symbolized in the Christmas story by Mary's unshakable resolve and purity of intention. There's so much in this life that can make us jaded. Every time I catch myself being cynical, I just feel weary. I'm tired of the compromises we make, the shallow values by which we often live, the slick, easy rationalizations we weave into the fabric of insincerity with which we so often hide our true selves. In my darkest moments, I have wondered, where is a pure motive, a clear conscience, or a truly unselfish act? And yet we do experience moments of innocence, don't we? Moments when our intentions are pure, when there is no guile or corruption in what we say or do. Moments like the capacity of people to suffer and sacrifice for the sake of those they love. Moments like the kindness unlooked for, given by so many people during this pandemic, in ways that we couldn't have imagined. Moments of innocence. To live them, to embrace them, is to stand in the presence of God. For God comes into life precisely at those moments, when sacrifice overcomes self-interest, and when a sense of wonder, like we're supposed to experience tonight, vanquishes our cynicism. We're supposed to check it at the door tonight. It is in innocence that God finds a place here, telling us how deeply we are loved, how there will always be a place for us. Another sign that God is near is gratitude, symbolized in the Christmas story by the coming of the Magi at Epiphany. It is the perfect symbol of offering our gifts and taking the risk of loving. I believe that when we are at our best, we do what the Magi did. For in any act of love, we take what we have to offer into the unknown, guided only by a faint light, leading us to the place where we are brought to our knees by the awe and wonder of how frail and fragile love is, inspiring us to give with both hands in gratitude. It's what we do for our children in their helplessness, or our aging parents in their helplessness. It's what so many continue to do during COVID time. Give. Simply that, give. We come to the manger tonight with gratitude because we have so much for which to be thankful. Despite everything. In giving, God finds a place here, telling us how deeply we are loved, how there will always be a place for us. Joy, innocence, gratitude. These three graces held that first Christmas in their embrace. And through these same qualities, God even now comes knocking, desiring nothing more than a place in our hearts. If only we have the joy to hear, the innocence to believe, the gratitude to open our hands and hearts and recognize what God is offering. Joy, innocence, gratitude. Offered tonight with the tiniest of hands, but with an abundance that could fill the hearts of the whole world. Merry Christmas. Amen.